Blog Talk Radio.
Up in life, he just wants to be heard, whether it's the beat of the mic, he feels so unlike everybody else.
What's going on, wrestling world? It's your boy B-Train, and yes, I'm now fully recovered from eye surgery, but that's not the main focus on tonight's edition of Wrestle Radio. Today we have a very special guest, Brandon Osborne, who will be joining us later on in the show. He is a part of NWL Kansas City, or National Wrestling League, if you want to get technical. He is a bright up-and-coming star for National Wrestling League. He's wrestled as one half of a tag team called The Staff. He's also wrestled against Shark Bait on, you know, National Wrestling League and at the Scottish Rite Temple, which is always a full house, ladies and gentlemen. And today we'll also be discussing Monday Night Raw, the ups and downs. And by the way, it's WrestleMania season. That started right at Survivor Series, I believe. And we have some amazing things to talk about. Like, one of my least favorite people to talk about and discuss, Paige. And the impact that Absolution has had on Monday Night Raw. Kind of like the female Shield, if you think about it. Also, WWE is in Dubai, and they're making history. The UAE's very first main event featuring Sasha Banks taking on Alexa Bliss for the Women's Championship. And while I'm discussing that, since I've got a few minutes before the guest arrives, I'll be sure to discuss with you, as I said, the ups and downs of Monday Night Raw. I'm not going to do that in 5 minutes, but I will tell you this. After watching with a friend last night, Raw's three-hour-long show featured a very good cruiserweight match. Cedric Alexander, Mustafa Ali, Drew Gulak, and Tony Nese. And hang on, folks, as we pause 10 seconds for identification. All right, ladies and gentlemen. So I had enough time to collect my thoughts. And, you know, here it is. After watching Monday Night Raw, you saw a lot of things, if you will. And things is in returning gimmick of Matt Hardy and his Woken gimmick that he did in TNA. Which most of you thought it was terrible, but I don't really seem to think that. I think that Matt Hardy, what he's doing is genius. He's reinventing himself all the time. Is he introducing you to things you've never seen before? Well, I gotta say, I'm trying to pause and think about what the words describe Monday Night Raw. First, you start off explosive, doing, you know, Samoa Joe, and then, I see the question coming on, man. He'll be on in a minute. So we got Instagram followers from Brooklyn, yo, and yeah, I'm well aware. I know you guys. You guys are very stubborn, so don't be mean. Just ask questions. It's like opening questions to our friend Brandon Osborne, who will be joining us shortly here on Wrestle Radio, right here on Wrestle Radio on this somewhat nice winter day in Kansas City. The weather did change 3 times, and I recall, joining in. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show the one, the only, Mr. Brandon Osborne, up-and-coming star from NWL Kansas City. Please welcome him to the show, ladies and gents. And hold your questions, you bums from Brooklyn. Please stop. What's up, man? How's it going? Welcome to Wrestle Radio.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Oh, nothing much. Just shooting the shit. And basically, what we have here on Wrestle Radio, it's a 2-hour show. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show again. A millionth introduction. The one, the only, up-and-comer, Brandon Osborne. How you doing, sir?
Thanks, man. I'm doing good, buddy. I'm doing good.
It's
a pleasure to be on.
Oh, that's good, man. What's it like being a part of new organization in the Midwest, NWL? What's that like?
It's a whole different ball game from what I'm used to on the indies. It's definitely a lot more professional in production, and a lot higher standards is what they expect from you, both in ring and out of ring as a personality, man. It's really a trip, and it's been an honor to be a part of it so far.
You've been a part of some things in the NWL, basically. You've taken on Mr. Devlin. You've also been featured at a place called NWL TPC. Can you describe your journey through NWL so far? I mean, how would you basically, in words, one of the fans on Instagram is already asking, you guys have Marty Bell, you guys have a variety of others. They're asking, what's your role basically in NWL so far?
That's a very good question. Through a series of tryouts and a lot of proving myself, I managed to make it into the staff role, little on-screen situation we did there, like you mentioned with Devlin and Maverick and a couple others. My role there, as yet, has really progressed past that. I suffered a neck injury about 6 months ago at the TPC of all places, and I've been on a slow, long rehab course right now, but I'm due to be back in the ring with them here within the next couple of months, I would say, at the most, hopefully sooner.
Okay. Okay, that's a cool question. One of our fans just asked, would you eventually want to venture outside and possibly go to a Ring of Honor tryout or venture out east? Man, you guys ask this questions all the time, I swear. Okay, our Instagram is full of a lot of people, man. So you got to understand, I got fans from the east, I got fans from Australia, I got fans from Japan listening in, and they're curious to know, like, is NWL going to, I know you can't probably possibly answer, maybe Major or Chris or somebody can answer this question, but the question was, is NWL going to eventually venture out? And if so, will Brandon or others be a part of the tour?
I think you hit the nail right on the head, man. I think Major or Chris is going to be the best answer there. But from what I understand, I think that answer is yes. Now, I don't know as far as the time frame when they're thinking of such kind of expansions, but at least at one point I had heard that they were looking at expanding. I would hope I'm a part of that. And as far as the Ring of Honor tryouts go, that is something on my to-do list, probably in 18. I'm going to try to get that accomplished. I feel like I'm ready to try it at least, but we'll see.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. My big mouth got me into trouble because I ended up not going to Danny Cage's camp, and I'm trying to get as many guys from where I used to reside to one of his camps. I mean, what's your thoughts about being a worker and still, you know, learning a lot, going to different seminars? Like, whose seminar would you most likely want to attend in 2018 if you get the opportunity?
Man, that is a question. There's a lot of seminars out there. Some of them are from folks really well known. Some maybe not so well known. I hear Chris Silvio has an excellent seminar. I wouldn't mind going to one of his. There's a seminar coming up here very shortly in Oklahoma with Dan Severn, which is a little more old school, but yeah, I mean, it helps to learn from all different directions if you can, you know. I mean, let's see, man. That's a good question. That's a real good question. Anytime Delirious is doing something, I would like to try to be at it.
It's funny you say that, man, because a few of mine, we went to Delirious seminar, and I feel embarrassed because I was like one of the worst practice referees ever, you know, and he's a pretty nice guy. Yeah, he goes, I need my senior official here, and I had a feeling by in 5-10 seconds I was going to get choked out if you catch my drift, and not Italian Mafia style in Brooklyn style, but I do, you know. He's one of those guys that's really cool. He'll tell it like it is. Basically, his camp at Dynamo Pros Dojo, I think Danny Adams was there. Jake Dearden was there. A good friend of mine, Kurt Gannon, attended the seminar as well. And, you know, you learn a lot like you wouldn't think. He, at one point, I believe, told Kurt and somebody, he's like, when you're doing the suplexes or when you're doing a hold, make noise, otherwise the crowd isn't going to know you're there. And, you know, saying stuff at seminars, at seminars, you pick up on stuff that you like, man, really? Am I that bad? Like, even as a manager, he goes, well, you're barely there. You know, if you're a babyface manager, pound the mat, do something, make noise. His big thing was when I was there, because I'm pretty sure it's going to change or it may not, make noise, make your presence felt. Have a cool entrance, you know. Do something to catch the promoter's attention. And speaking of which, man,
yeah.
I gotta say, I'm glad that you and you're gonna laugh at me for nicknaming him, Shane. You and Shane faced Devlin and I forget who was involved in the match, but boy, am I glad you put the socket to him to Devlin.
Yeah.
I really am. For reasons unbeknownst to me, I'm not going to say it here on my show, and it's not a shoot, but I really am. Also, man, so if you even end up going to NWO, I was hoping that they might put together something similar, like a cruiserweight division or something to make the fans go, hey, that's new, because they've got women's wrestling starting, so why not give the NWL lightweight division or something? Or what is your thoughts on adding like big names, like possibly having Ricochet appear, or maybe like, I don't know, Sammy Callahan? I mean,
I know they dabbled in that. Right. I know they dabbled in that a little bit not the former WWE stuff. I mean, they've done a little with that, too. They've had Hardcore Holly in there and whatnot. But, they've had Jimmy Jacobs around, Eric Cannon. You know what I mean? They've had a couple of guys. I would love to see them bring in guys like that, like Ricochet. You got a lot of quality talent out there, man.
Quackenbush came, and I said to myself, what the hell was Quack doing out of Philly? You know, he never says, you know, hey, he's never going to go here, but all of a sudden, Cowtown, Kansas City? Come on, Quack. You know.
Right?
Yeah,
it's definitely very different when I saw that.
Well, yeah, it's funny because you wouldn't think of all people from, you know, his wrestling organization that he runs in Philly and his own wrestling school, and he comes here, he's like, well, I like to expand my horizons. I'm sure you do. Same thing, you know, when I saw that Jimmy Jacobs was coming, I said, am I blind? I know I'm not having, this is before eye surgery, dude. I saw his name pop up on NWL, and I go, the former writer for SmackDown Live is going to NWL. You guys must be doing something right, because if these big names keep coming out of the woodwork to come to NWL, I mean, you obviously have some amazing trainers. I do know that I see the names I can't reveal, because I'm one of those people that doesn't like revealing non-gimmick name. But I do realize that you do have four trainers that know what they're doing. You have Marty Bell, participant in the Mae Young Classic. You've had Mia Yim,
yeah,
also a participant in the Mae Young Classic. I mean, what are your – I'm going to just tailspin and stop asking questions. We're going to shoot the shit, you and me.
All right, cool.
Okay. So, been watching some of the stuff lately, New Japan, like the fact that Jericho and Omega are going at it. I mean, I personally speaking, I've watched Omega, a few of his stuff. He has a little bit of an ego, but I like it, because you can't have wrestling if you don't have an ego, in my opinion. What's your take on that match at WK12, starting out the new year?
I have only seen the one Omega match, and that was that one everyone was ranting and raving about a couple months back. And the kid's extremely talented. I got to give you that. But Jericho could do a match with a mop, and I would watch it. You know, like, he has this ability to bring the absolute tops out of people. Yeah, and so, and Omega already having the talent that he's got, and you put him in a match with Jericho, if the only hang up there is going to be, like you said, his ego. Is the kid going to be willing to listen? If he's going to be willing to listen to Jericho, they're going to have to, man, it's going to be amazing.
Well, to tell you the truth, man, I saw the match with Okada and Omega. Jesus Christ, Okada's headbutts. People have always said, ooh, this guy's strikes are the worst, and this guy's strikes are the best. To be honest with you, I love watching The Rock and Austin and all them, but there are some moments where you're like, well, who am I supposed to believe? If I see, you know, crappy-ass strikes, and, oh, yeah, I've got to get opinion on this. Everyone and their mother, including my own roommate, who I don't know where he's at right now, but the point is, Paige returned to WWE. Now has a group called Absolution. Then you have, on the other hand, on the other side of the spectrum, you've got Ruby Riott. And I want your honest opinion. Between the two, Paige and Ruby Riott, which one stands out the most when it comes to your mind, as far as like skill set, the ability to perform in ring, out of ring mic, and all that? Who stands out to you, man? Is it Paige or is it Ruby Riott?
Oh, I've got more exposure to Paige than I've got Ruby Riott. I don't keep up on WWE as much as I should, so kind of de facto, I'm going to have to go with Paige. I need to see more Ruby Riott stuff. What I've seen of her, I like. But Paige is – I liked Paige since I first saw her in WWE. There's something about the way she moves. There's something about her. She's got a natural charisma about her that I like to watch.
Well, I'll just come out right and say it. I don't like Paige because – some people say, well, you're just basing it off the past. There's a problem with her. Why the WWE is giving her the Shield group, you know, two nobodies, Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose. There's some people, I don't care what people try and tell me, I've never really liked Paige. There's something about her that seems off. And last night she had a match with Sasha Banks. I did watch the entire thing, and there's one where they're going to do a sunset flip powerbomb out the corner. And yeah, if I'm judging it based off of one botch, then I really shouldn't be watching wrestling. But at the same token, Paige, to me, in the rest of the fans in the East, There's some of us who like her, and there's some of us who hate her. I am one of those people that believes that if you, you know, had enough of a story history, someone, some super fan is going to be like, isn't she the one that made the video with that guy or those guys and did this to the NXT title belt? Like, I'm just being for real. Like, yeah, she's a good worker, and she's got talent. But from my, like, humble opinion about her, is that she doesn't need Mandy and she doesn't need Sonya. She's strong by herself. I mean, she's a good worker altogether. But as far as Ruby Riott goes, if you think, here's what I believe. She's like the female CM Punk. If you look at her moves and you watch her in the ring, I automatically think she's like, yeah, she's closer to what CM Punk was when he first came in. But as far as, you know, not just WWE stuff, man, what we're going to steer clear of the female discussion because it might sound like total divas here in a minute. I think we should okay, so it's WrestleMania season. What was your favorite WrestleMania as a kid growing up?
As a kid growing up, man, it's honestly, and I may catch flack from diehard fans, but, like, I was a fan at the time, you know? The invasion angle. To have The Rock and Hogan in the ring, Austin and Hall. I loved that WrestleMania. That was fun for me from the word go as a fan. I was just like, every match on it, I loved. Even looking back now, I watched some of them, and I'm like, they weren't great, some of the matches, but I didn't care. I bought it. You know what I mean? Like, that's ultimately what it's all about, is can you sell the ticket? Can you make it worth watching? And they did on that one big time.
What? I mean, okay. So, like, if you had any opponent, like, to choose from any decade of WrestleMania since its existence, and when it started at Madison Square Garden from now, if you had to pick any name out of the hat to say, hey, I want to work you, who would it be?
Man, that's tough. I would love to work Ricky Steamboat when he was in his prime.
Yep. The arm drag.
Steamboat in his prime. Right.
That's a good choice, man. That's a real good choice. His match with Savage at Mania 3, I think it was. Yep. That stole the show.
Intercontinental title match, man. And that everything Steamboat did was just so fluid, you know. And honestly, at a time when it wasn't that fluid, you know, he changed the game in a lot of ways. He's always been kind of an idol of mine growing up. So
he actually, Ricky, I believe, I've seen him sometimes. I've seen him a lot for all 1000. I've seen him at Mania, just as an inductee, but really nice guy. And I gotta say, man, like, if I had to pick anyone. Since my fans are asking, well, you assume who you want to wrestle, who do you want to manage? I go, well, that's easy. If I had to pick a manager to replace, and I'm going to get a lot of flack for saying this, I would like to manage The Undertaker. The Undertaker, because why? The man, you will not find another athlete that will go 22-0. You might, and you might step on toes, but you know what they say, history is meant to be broken. And the reason why is because The Undertaker, look at his work. He kept evolving with the times as a wrestler.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I just, for me, dude, you see all the other wrestlers during that time period. You had Hogan to choose from, Warrior, Undertaker, Sid, Vader, British Bulldog, which I'm jealous of Jim Cornette because he had to. He got to manage a lot of great talent in his time. But speaking of which, who is your favorite manager and least favorite manager of all to watch as a kid?
to watch my favorite manager. I was a big fan of Jimmy Hart. I always liked Mouth of the South. I thought he was I always hated him, I guess, but that was the point. You know what I mean? Like in hindsight, he was doing a great job. That's why I hated him so much. But as far as ones that, I mean, there were some that just may as well have not even been there. Like I remember WCW had that Sonny Ono. Like he could have just not even come to the ring. I wouldn't have cared.
He was the first one to invent selfies, don't you know? Before that became a thing.
Little film camera.
Managed Booker T. Yes, Sonny Ono had his moments, and yes, he managed Ultimo Dragon, but yes, I agree with you. He could barely come to the ring just like, what's his face, Paul Ellering.
Yeah.
I never, and people say, well, he's great. He managed Authors of Pain and Legion of Doom. So I always ask guests when they're on here on Wrestle Radio, what, you know, you have your certain amenities in the business that you love, but what is it about the business that drives you absolutely batshit crazy about some people? And you don't have to name names, you just name, like, the qualities and traits of certain workers. You know, this irritates me when they do this, or this absolutely drives me bonkers when this happens, and you know it's some messed up, you know what?
Just a basic lack of professionalism drives me absolutely insane. I mean, there's obviously some joking around and whatnot that goes on in the back, but, like, you know, it's the little bits that we're brought up in, you know what I mean? Like, to shake hands, to introduce yourself to the guys you haven't seen. Don't act like you're better than everybody else. You know what I mean? Like, that drives me bonkers. We're on the same show. We're on the same card, you and me. Do not act like you're better than me, you know? That drives me nuts. We've all been here. We've all paid dues. We're all on the same card. You know what I mean? Like, why is it so hard to just be cordial to each other? Yeah, there's so much heat and ego. Like you said, you got to have some ego to be in this. People let their egos, they start drinking their own Kool-Aid. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I tell you what, fans are just, okay, they want to know, like, where do you see yourself, like, this really, you're going to ask me this bougie-ass question? Okay, where does he see himself in 5 to 10 years? Come on, yo. Come on, Brooklyn, you disappoint me today.
Years.
That's what they just asked me. Right?
I mean, it's not an invalid question. 5 years, man. Just consistent, man. That's all I've ever wanted out of this business. I mean, it's not, obviously. Obviously, every guy that gets in this business wants to headline Mania. But 5 years from now, man, if I'm working consistent, ideally, if it's my only job, working wrestling all the time, maybe NWL champ 5 years, you know. Maybe Ring of Honor, doing something big in Ring of Honor in 5 or 10 years. But it's a wild, crazy ride, dude. And I learned this summer, man, when I hurt my neck, I learned this summer that don't plan that far ahead. Just worry about getting through next weekend.
Yeah, that's a funny story because, like, some people ask, well, how did you get to all four, the major four? And I said, less sleep, financial planning, and driving myself absolutely insane. They think it was easy, you know, going to all the events. I said, yo, even as a fan, like, you got to understand, you've got hotel, you've got flight, you've got rental car, and you've got always, you know, always in the back of your mind, okay, who am I bringing with me? How much is they going to pay me half and all this stuff? I mean, okay, speaking of, like, payments and stuff, when you've been on the road, like, know some people have funny road stories that they want to tell. Is there any, like, funny road story that you'd like to relay to the fans that, you know, you're probably not going to get in trouble for? So do you have any, like, man, I laughed so hard, my stomach hurt?
You put that caveat on there, trying not to get people in trouble. I was on, Man, the worst actually, it's funny in hindsight. I went down, I did a Tom Pritchard camp when I first broke into the business many years ago. I drove from St. Joe, Missouri to Austin, Texas on a Friday night to do this camp all day Saturday and then drive back. So, well, in between, like, we had the camp in the day and then we did a show that night. And so in between, me and a few of the other cats, we all go out to sushi. We're like, yeah, let's go get something to eat here in Austin. So I get some sushi. We go back. We do the show about 20 minutes north of Austin. My guts decide that the sushi wasn't a great idea. And I had a gun pulled on me by a highway patrolman because I'm in the back seat. We got another couple workers. One's driving. I'm curled up in the ball trying not to puke, right? So we get pulled over for speeding in a work zone, and immediately the urge to throw up hits me. So I bail out of the car. Well, this Texas State Trooper thinks I'm just running, you know. So he whips out a gun and runs me down. It's only for 10 feet later for me to be in a ditch yakking my guts out. So he goes back to the driver, and he's like, what's wrong with him? He goes, we think he's got food poisoning. He said, well, get him the hell out of here. What are you doing? So we got out of the ticket. Didn't have to get a ticket. Had a gun drawn on me. That was a pretty interesting night, man. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, I can see that. Okay. The fans goes, yes, we know sushi's bad. Very picky eaters we are in Brooklyn. Anyways,
I love sushi.
Anyways, well, they're like, OMG, he just yacked up sushi. That's effed up, but also funny. God, you guys. Okay, make up your minds. All right. So, since you're relaying a road story, I'll just relay mine about Houston. And this is before eye surgery. Me and my friend are on the way to Finn Balor signing. And we're in Pasadena, Texas. And you know Texas, they got to have 6 lanes for every, like, change or whatever. I'm in the left-hand turn lane.
Yeah.
Next thing I know, I see a car come at me. And boom, runs into me. It takes her 20 seconds to get out the car, right? And she goes, well, at least we're okay. At least we have our lives, whatever. I get a $185 ticket for her mishap, which made me all the more PO'd. But then I realized next time I come to Texas, good old B-Train's getting himself an Uber. No, not Uber. They get hacked. Lyft. And I'm just going to drive that way instead of, you know, driving my rental all over the joint. So,
oh yeah.
I got to say, like, you've driven some places, right, Brandon? Okay. Let me ask you this. What is the worst experience you've had driving around in different states? Like, what is the state that you're like, not driving in this dump anymore?
Honestly, it's a tree. There's 3 cities. If I never have to drive in them again, I can die a happy man. One of them is the Beltway, Baltimore, D.C. That's just horrible.
Yep.
Dallas, Fort Worth, that whole situation. I'm done with it.
Yep.
And Chicago. I hate driving in Chicago. Well, Chicago is not bad. The interstate getting into and out of Chicago is a nightmare.
It's accidents every 8 minutes. I feel your pain, man, because I went to, I went to Naperville, Illinois for my birthday, right? And I was going to see, like, a Cubs game. I made the mistake of trying to drive through Chicago during rush hour. And they were like, well, why are you here 2 hours early? I said, are you serious? Yeah, the game starts at 6:30. I'm saying, like, no, it says 4:30. Oh, yeah, 4:30. Okay. I like Wrigley Field, and I like all that stuff, but honest to God, really, you don't know the time zones around here? Oh, well, forgive me, man. We worked a double shift last night. I didn't ask your life story. All I asked was, why the hell is your highways not, you know, wider? Because Chicago's a big-ass city, and so is Dallas-Fort Worth. And you ever wonder when they're going to get 35 fixed? That's a foredrawn conclusion to my friend in the Midwest. 35 south and 35 north, anyone? And you just get the,
Yeah, absolutely. 35, I think, is going to be under construction until Christ returns.
Yeah, because every summer you're like, didn't you just work on this in December? Because you all told us that it was cheaper to work in the winter months. Like, why are you so, they said, why are you so negative about a city you don't live in anymore? I visit it like it's my own home because it used to be. Which brings me to this next thing. If you had, like, any arena, and I ask this question to practically every person that's been on here, what dream arena would you, NWL, WWE, Ring of Honor, if you were working for, would you absolutely mark out, you know, just to yourself and to family and members, be like, hey, I'm working the Garden, or hey, I'm working Arrowhead Stadium, or hey, I'm working this, you know, for real. I'm the headliner for this event. You all got to come see me. Which arena would you hand pick to be like, man, this is it. This is the place.
Man, I think you already said it, dude. It'd be the Garden for me. It'd have to be the Garden. Like, there's before wrestling, I was a boxer, so. Like, the Garden holds double weight for me. It's like, that's where you go, is the Garden. That's when you've hit the top, is wrestling at the Garden.
I got to say something, because nobody believes me when I tell them this until I actually have given a few tours to some people. I don't know if Graham Bell has toured Madison Square Garden, but I told him, and I told others, when you go to MSG, as we all call it, it looks like a bank building. It seriously does, and it's on 36th and 6th, or 38th and 8th, whatever. You get off the train, you go, and you look at it. You go inside that building, it is absolutely huge. I mean, like, when I was a kid, I didn't think anything of it, but, like, when you walk inside, they've got levels for hockey, they've got levels for wrestling, they've got Hogan and Roddy Piper's picture, the picture of Mr. T, like, everything that you think of Madison Square Garden, like, the walls are a bit the same. They haven't really changed since I was a kid. But, yes, for some weird reason, that seems to be the common response. Like, nobody says Tokyo Dome or, you know, I'm sure people would love to compete in Japan because it's a whole new animal out there. Speaking of seeing performances, like, here's something I'm going to point out to you, man. Did you know that Enzo used to be an amateur boxer?
I didn't know that. No,
yeah, because when we were friends and I were backstage working in WWE shows extras, Enzo basically was talking about the doctor after his concussion, and they asked him, do you remember anything transferring yourself from, you know, not the surgery, but the CAT scan? He's like, well, when I was in the bed or whatever, I remember not a thing. But when I was, you know, getting my head scanned, he goes, I remember all my freaking boxing fights from when I was like 18 to, you know, 24. And I said, wow, dude, I never knew that about Enzo, that he was an amateur boxer, until he said that. And I was like, well, cool. Brandon used to be a boxer too. So that's something very similar to you two, except for, one's a cruiserweight and the other one's an up-and-coming star in NWL. I, personally, if you had to add any, like, title names to NWL, not to get... I keep saying this because I know I'll get in trouble, obviously. Major probably have a big laugh over this, but if they had to add any titles in NWL, like, what would be the titles that you would look forward to seeing if they did, in fact, add maybe one or two championships in NWL that you would fight for?
Well, as the cruiserweight, I've got to, obviously, I'm going to be partial towards a cruiserweight title. And I think they've got quality cruiserweights that could do this, you know, Fuego del Sol and guys like that. Even just something along the lines of, like, you know, the Fed's got the Intercontinental title, a tag title. Well, we just got that. Never mind. But, yeah, something along the lines of, like, an Intercontinental title. And I'm sure it'd have its own name, you know what I mean? But a cruiserweight title, I think the fans could go for.
Our fans just asked a question from, you know, her name's actually Bailey, and she's from White Plains, New York. Go figure. Nah, I'm not being mean to you, girl. Thank you. Let's clarify that. My God. All her fans on my end are being hostile. And we got another question from Indiana, but we'll get to you later. The name is Keith. Yep, it's Keith. So we'll get to Bailey's question first. She wants to ask you, like, what's the weirdest encounter you've ever had with a fan that made you feel like, okay, I think I'm going to exit stage left?
Ooh. I had a here recently, and it's not even their own fault, I guess, is they weren't necessarily weird. I've run into a lot of really quality fans. I haven't had a lot of issues with my fans or with fans of the business, either one. But I have run into some less savory human beings whilst I've been out and about on the road. Here recently, first match back, actually, I had a guy come up to me wanting an autograph on his shirt, and I could barely get close enough to him to autograph it. He just...
stunk so bad.
I don't know if the guy never changed his clothes or what. Pretty sure there was a urine stain on the front of his pants. He was pretty haggard. But generally, most fans I get are, I mean, they're cool. I haven't had a lot of really weirdos. I've heard some stories. I've had some random stalkerish Facebook stuff before, but that's about the extent of it. And it's usually from, you know, younger girls don't really know what they're even doing at the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, you get a random Facebook friend request and message like, oh, my God, I think you're hot. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to just deny you. Here, go to the gimmick page and like that one, please. You know, like, I don't need any of that. So.
Keith wants to ask, initially, when I first saw you back in the day, like when I first met you, first starting out, man, I thought you kind of emblemized the look of CM Punk. And that's because of the hair, the tattoos, and like the ring gear and stuff kind of tied that all together thought-wise. He saw the pic on Wrestle Radio. He's like, is he any way, shape, or form related to the one, the only CM Punk? And I go, no, that's a compliment. I'll tell him that.
Yeah.
Keith, I you have to hear it from Brandon himself. I mean, I...
related to? No. The closest ties that I have to CM Punk is that I, too, know Ace Steel. That's about as close as I get to it. But I have heard the comparison,
cool.
Believe me, plenty of times, especially when I'm a heel. That's all you hear out of the crowd. You know what I mean?
CM Punk.
Yeah, is it? Oh, God, yes, yeah. That or knockoff Punk, I hear that one if I'm a bad guy. So it's
that's
the hard part for me in that regard is trying to keep myself separate from that, because the last thing I want to do is project myself as a knockoff CM Punk. You know what I mean? That guy works circles around me, and I'm not afraid to admit it. You know what I mean? So I got to be very careful how I do things and how I work myself going forward. So there's a lot going into that currently. And I know NWL, in my talks with them about what to do with me, when I return, that's been something that's talked about. It's like, what can we do to set you for me to be different, to try to stave off that kind of comparison as best as we can. And although being compared to him as far as in-ring work would be fantastic, I'd be great with that. That wouldn't bother me a bit.
Yeah, they say imitation is the best form of flattery. And, you know, most of the things that I've noticed, man, about your work is that you get the crowd into it. And isn't that the overall big picture goal for any worker, no matter if you're on the Indies, NWL, Ring of Honor, House of Glory, doesn't matter where you come from. If you can't work the crowd, well, then promoter is going to take notice and is going to take you to the back and maybe pull a William Regal, give you a big old notepad, and say, this needs work, that needs work, please work on this, please work on that. I've seen him do it to, what's her face, she's no longer with the company, Eva Marie, and some people, you know, ever notice in the business, man, like, some workers you just keep to yourself because the more and more you bellyache, bitch, gripe, and complain, you see the end result, what happens to those guys. But what's your, like, main motivation for you to, like, succeed in NWL?
Partly my own stubborn will to want to make it in a place where, when I was going to that first tryout, there was about two people who thought I could actually make it there. So it's partly spite, partly my own stubborn will that just wants to succeed there to say, ha-ha, I told you. But really, the biggest motivation for me nowadays, man, is my kids, dude. My kids think, I mean, anytime they see me at NWL, you know, like I'm a superstar to them. And it don't matter where I make it in wrestling at this point. To them, I'm a hero and I'm a superstar, and I want to try to push that as far as I can for them. You know what I mean? I would love nothing more than one day, you know, when all the kids are having, talking about their parents around the lunch table, for mine to be like, yeah, well, my dad's a wrestling champion. So, you know what I mean? Like, that would be really cool for me and for them both. I just want them to know,
anyway,
man. You know what I mean?
So,
I want,
like,
them to understand that you can be anything.
That's commendable, because a lot of guys will sit there and say, well, I believe Scott Hall said it during his interview. He said, Chief J. Strongbow pulled us aside, me and Kevin, said, you have a choice, man. You can make a lot of money or you can make a lot of friends. And I think there's some guys that want a bit of both, and you're not going to lie, because you need money and you do have friends.
Right.
And, you know, in the wrestling business, you and I both know that it's more of a business than it is a friendship business. And I'm pretty sure that both of us have had experiences where we're like, yeah, something doesn't seem quite right with this guy. I think I'm just going to exit out, you know, and just do the right thing and not say a word. But what's your experience with having something with a promoter or something that you're just like, okay, I see what you're trying to do, and I'm not going to have any part of it?
I've had some promoters that on the indies, especially on the indies, I've had some promoters that say, hey, you know, you're a smaller guy and all, but you're a good worker, so here's this barely trained 300-pound monstrosity. Go out there and make him look good. You know, and I'm like, can we finish training him first? You know, and they're like, no, we want to get him out here in front of the fans. I'm like, well, all right, we'll get him out there in front of the fans a different way, because I'm not putting my livelihood on the line because you've got some big hulking behemoth that barely knows how to bump, and you want me to carry him through a match. You know, I've had stuff like that happen more times than I could care to admit. And I just, I'm not having any part of that anymore. I used to do it because I thought it was all, you know, part of paying dues when I was younger. You know, I'm like, oh, well, you know, this is what the promoter wants. And I'd forgot a very vital part of training when I was first in training. And my trainer told me, he said, dude, just don't ever forget, you can say no. You know what I mean? And that's something that's advice a lot of these young kids could get right now, is you can say no. Someone wants you to go out there and jump off the roof through some light tubes and barbed wire onto a guy, you can say no. You know, I was like, don't kill yourself for nothing. You know,
okay.
I mean, make sure it's worth what you're doing. What you're doing is worth it.
Speaking of which, man, I not a big fan of death matches. I mean, I love ECW and I love CZW, but my thing with the death matches, I don't. Some people say, well, you know, it's a form of wrestling, you should like it. I don't have to like anything someone tries to shove down my throat. And I do believe that a lot of workers feel that in order to, you know, get themselves noticed, they've got to go through barbed wire beds. They've got to go through tables. It's not – I'm generally trying to explain to this one guy on here saying, well, what's his, you know, what is his thoughts on extreme wrestling? getting to that. Thank you, sir. What is your, I mean, what were your thoughts on, like, the old ECW stuff, like the Perry Saturn and the balcony matches that people had, like with the Tommy Dreamer and the Pitbulls and all of them? I don't know if you, did you even watch ECW back then, Dan? Just out of curiosity.
I did. I watched ECW because partly because I've been a Raven fan probably as long as I knew he existed, and I followed him back and forth between WCW and ECW both. So I watched a lot of ECW, and there is a way to do these matches, and that's, to me, is that's my biggest pet peeve with hardcore and with death matches both. It's like hardcore, like you brought up the balcony matches, right? They didn't go off the balcony 47
yep.
times in the match, and they damn sure didn't do it in the first 3 minutes of it. You know what I mean? They built to it. A lot of these death matches I see, especially ones on the indies, the guys are cut up and bleeding a minute and a half into the match. It's not making any sense. Y'all are just hitting each other with stuff. And you're, to me, it makes other matches on the card look like trash, because you got a guy that just took a powerbomb off the top of a semi-truck through a table and then no-sold it. You know, I've seen that happen, and it's in front of 100 people. Like, why are you killing yourself in front of 100 people? You know, at ECW, that was a packed house, standing room only. I mean, like, you could have got me to do some crazy stuff there, too. If the crowd's there, you know, and if that's what they want, then we work towards it, and it makes sense, and it helps the story. There's drama, you know. If you do it right, I'm actually a fan of hardcore. But if it's just, I'm going to hit you guys with ball bats because I can. Like, nah, I don't want to see. I can go to the bar on a Saturday night and see that.
And see, that's what I'm saying. Like, you see all this stuff that CZW does, and they're like, oh, no, it's not all hardcore. And I said, I beg to differ, dude, because a third of their matches, you know, Joey Janela and all of them, they have come from that. Rich Swann, Cedric Alexander, they all have – we have – cruiserweight matches too. Yeah, that's cute. I live in New York, and I see like a bunch of wrestling, and what I've seen from like the independent feds to Ring of Honor, like House of Glory, and you see a variated style in wrestling. And I noticed that Ring of Honor has a lot of flippy shit, and I'm not trying to, you know, sugarcoat it, because it irritates me that, you know, it's like, well, we want to be different. Okay, Lucha Underground. You have all this creative movie style playing, and you've got, like, Rey Mysterio and Sexy Star, and you've got had Ricochet, and then you go to places like Wrestling Revolver, and you see, you know, kind of like Shikara-style wrestling. Because it was, I went to Tales from the Ring, and Sami Callihan, let me tell you, for a dude, he's like probably your height, a little bit shorter, man, but I would not want to take a chop from Sammy, because that dude is absolutely batshit crazy.
I've heard that.
And he just, I mean, he's got like, he worked Jack Swagger that night, and I was, you're going to laugh at me, but the entire time during the match, I was like, could Swagger please pull up his trunks? I mean, holy hell, how long has it been since he's worked? And he's a really good worker, nice guy, but his trunks were just dropping, and I'm like, you know, the view's nice, but can you please pull it up? I don't know how he's going to work, because Sammy's got to pull you for a suplex, it looks like, and obviously, you know, Sammy, you know, worked really well, and I thought, man, okay, it's been how many months since we've seen, years since we've seen Jack Swagger in WWE and on TV, period. You see guys from Japan at Sammy's promotion. You see just pretty much practically anybody and everybody at his promotion, which, by the way, man, invitations open if you want to come with to go see, I believe, his Cinco de Mayo show. It's in Clive, Iowa, but if you have NWL obligation, that's completely understandable. The invitation's open because I like to bring people to see a show. It's absolutely mind-blowing amazing. But enough about that. I do have 5 minutes left with you, sir. But here's what I'm going to ask you. Like, of all the wrestling personalities, if you had to choose from past, present, future, I'm going to list some names here. Brian Pillman, Owen Hart, Benoit, British Bulldog, Cornette, Vader. Okay, let me name some current personalities too, just to be fair. Zack Ryder. Let's see, who else? I'm not going to list Ambrose. CM Punk, Roman Reigns, John Cena. All those personalities that I just listed, which one would you be dying and chomping at the bit to get in the ring with or work with behind the scenes and work with in-ring?
Man. CM Punk. I'd have to go with Punk. I'd have to. There's very few people that were as good on a microphone as CM Punk. So I could learn a lot by way of promos from him. I could learn a lot by way of in-ring from him. I could learn a lot of the politics from him. He was a whole nother breed, dude. Like, I don't know that we're going to see an equal to him. I honestly think he's kind of underrated. And I was not a fan of how he was treated in WWE most generally. Of course, I wasn't there, so I can't say one way or the other which story is actually the true story. But, man, his ability to work a crowd, to work a microphone, and then to go out into the ring and actually do everything he just said he was going to do is rare. To me, it seems like you've got a lot of guys who can work and really work, but they falter on a microphone or they falter with getting the crowd involved in it, regardless of how well they can work. And then you have the flip side of that coin, guys like Hogan, who at the time was one of the best sticks around in the 80s, you know. And then he got in the ring, he had about 4 moves he could do. But it didn't matter, he could still sell. Punk was one of the very few who could do both and do both really, really well. So out of that list, man.
Okay, fans, I've told you this multiple times. If I had to work with any two people, bring back from the past. I loved Owen Hart and I liked Brian Pillman. Pillman, by far, if you combine his personality and CM Punk, you get B-Train. Why? Because it goes from 1 to 110 in about the span of 5 seconds. And Pillman, some people say, Pillman say, well, isn't he the guy that decided to show up at ECW and almost pee on the floor? Well, here's my thing about that. Pillman, even, you know, Austin at points in time said, man, he's crazy. And that's all I'm going to tell you all is that he was absolutely nuts. But his work ethic, if you're able to get Bobby Heenan at the time to just say, what the hell's wrong with you? He said, very few guys could get me going, okay. But Pillman, he found the secret to getting Bobby Heenan upset and getting him worked. The reason why I say CM Punk is because he wasn't afraid to push the envelope. And even Triple H, who to this day said I tried to reach out to him, you know. It's funny, I bumped into his friend, one of his friends who got a tattoo with him, at Survivor Series. Very nice gal, although she was kind of, I didn't know she was, you know, female because she had such a deep voice until a friend explained to me why they were there at Survivor Series. One of their good friends is a producer from WWE, and I was like, okay, I'll believe it when I see it. And then they pointed to him, and he waved, and I go, oh, okay. And she said, I got a tattoo with Punk and can tell you, you know, I've been in this business for 12 years. And I go, isn't that the same amount of time that Punk was in this business? Yeah, pretty much. And I go, that's pretty awesome to bump into someone that actually knew him and say, you know, this is the way things were. And I asked her about the whole Colt Cabana thing, and she goes, well, I might have to PG this since there's kids around. And I said, well, what is the situation between Punk and the WWE? And she goes, can't really discuss that out in public, man. She goes, I'd much rather just enjoy the pay-per-view. But overall, I agree with you 100% because you won't find another personality was so live wire, so off the hinges, man. And my favorite CM Punk was probably every CM Punk, but I liked him a lot when he was Straight Edge Society and he had Sarita Deeb or whatever her name was.
Yeah.
I like that. I like the whole thing at the Royal Rumble when, you know, he eliminated R-Truth. What's up? That was just great. You got a pop, you got some booze. But I know you're probably itching to get or eat dinner, man. Thank you so much for being on Wrestle Radio. Hopefully next week, man, you can be a guest on Off the Rails Uncensored. It was great. Is there any last questions before Brandon gets off the air? No? Going once,
yeah,
going
man, it
was twice?
Fantastic being here.
Yeah, it is a fantastic day here for. So, thank you, sir, for being on Wrestle Radio. We hope to hear from you sometime in the near future in 2018. Wish you the best of luck in your return to NWL. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Osborne from NWL Kansas City National Wrestling League. You can catch him when he returns to the ring, either Friday in Overland Park or maybe possibly at the Scottish Rite Temple or wherever they decide to locate. So be sure to catch him on NWL. Show him some love on Instagram. Is there anything you want to plug, sir, social media-wise, where your fans can catch you?
You follow me on Twitter. It's at pound for pound the best. It's LB4LB the best, all one. Or just hit me up on Facebook, Instagram. You know, you said, yeah, I think you've tagged my Instagram. If not, that's at Bennett James Pro. It's pretty easy. And thanks a lot for having me on the show, man. I really appreciate it.
Oh, not a problem, man. And also, if you guys want to share this episode or download on iTunes, it will be available on iTunes tomorrow. If you like to, like Brandon said, if you want to message him on Facebook, you can do so. You can do so on his Instagram at Bennett James Pro at Instagram. You can also do what he said on Twitter. So, all right, folks, I got a lot of groundwork to cover for Off the Rails section of Wrestle Radio. Thank you, sir, once again. You are awesome. You are amazing. And I know I'm kissing ass right now, but still. Thank you so much for everything.
Right, thanks, buddy. Yeah, absolutely.
Have a good
man.
One.
All right.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
All right.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Brandon Osborne from NWL. And I said to you I would be discussing Monday Night Raw, the ups and downs. The ups would be you start right out of the gate with Roman Reigns. He's in the ring. He wants Samoa Joe. Kurt Angle's in there. So I guess Jason Jordan comes out, and he's already discussing, hey, I want an Intercontinental Championship. Yeah, okay, so the question is, what did I like? Which segment did I like out of Monday Night Raw? Absolution's not getting stale. I believe, you know, they're going new, and I tend to really rampage and bury people a lot, as some people say. But I'm not really concerned about that. What I'm concerned about is the fact that Monday Night Raw was 3 hours long, and there wasn't really that bad a show. If I take a look at it from what I saw that Monday Night Raw started out fresh out the gate. Roman Reigns versus Jason Jordan was not a terrible match. Let's see what else. Oh, yes, Nia Jax and Enzo Amore. That's quite the on-screen romance. So, here's the thing. Watching Monday Night Raw, as I said, yeah, ups and downs. The Cruiserweight match wasn't bad. Overall, you know, ladies and gentlemen, you find some really cool shit by really cool shit, I mean, the women are now becoming more intense. You saw Sasha Banks take Paige to the absolute limit. Paige hits Rampage on Sasha. Sasha did have Banks' statement on, and Paige, I believe, made it to the ropes once or twice. Overall work, pretty decent. Pretty, you know, get the crowd into it. You get the builds going forward. So she's doing better by herself. Not, you know, like I said, she really doesn't need Mandy Rose. She really doesn't need Sonya Deville. I mean, first off, you will come across, not Laura Croft. You want to come across with the impression that you... You want to come across as one of those people that leaves a lasting impression, right? So while I have 8 minutes before I start off the rails uncensored and dive further into Monday Night Raw, the main event featured a tag team match that kind of, well, it became future for next week on Monday Night Raw, but I wondered, if the implications being that WWE may get an idea from this, this is exactly what I want to happen because, you know, they say ideas come from podcasts, so here's the podcast idea. That I have basically come up with and formulated. For the future of WWE, next week on Monday Night Raw, why not have a six-man tag match? And if Roman's team loses, the Intercontinental Championship goes to Samoa Joe. If Roman's team wins, the tag team championships from Sheamus and Cesaro will go to the Shield. You see, points like that, very rare in WWE, you know, very rare in Wrestle Radio. So basically, what I'm going to tell you is, if you really want me to understand, love Monday Night Raw, I'm actually liking what I'm seeing. Because as far as I'm concerned, WWE has done a really nice job because it's the builds before WrestleMania 34. So, again... understanding that it's the season of WrestleMania 34, what can we expect at WrestleMania 34 to, you know, happen? What kind of matches can we see? Where is it headed? Where's the direction of WWE headed with Absolution and now the girl groups in WWE? What does this have anything to do with Monday Night Raw? Well, okay. Awoken Hardy. Matt Hardy keeps reinventing himself, and it's genius because he's working with a guy that can help work really well. Matt Hardy is working with Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt is a genius when it comes to promos and basically the darkness where it comes from. I don't know. Woken Hardy kind of just caught me by surprise. I haven't seen this in quite some time. But I was so happy to see it because WWE Raw tends to and will always have their ups and downs. Probably the down moment was the Nia Jax Enzo. I'm wondering what the hell's going on there. But, you know, I asked too many questions. So the Cruiserweights had a fatal four-way for a person to move on to face Enzo Amore, the current cruiserweight champion. You have Drew Gulak. You've got, oh man, okay, Rich Swann, and the winner goes on to face Enzo Amore. A lot of questions, man, about why the cruiserweight division is the way it is. First, you had Austin Aries in there. He didn't want to be. Could have been great outside of that performance battle. So, here's what I'm going to say. All right. The cruiserweight division, as you guys have been flooding the inbox here, the cruiserweight division is the way it is because WWE's marketing team thought Enzo Amore, one of the hottest selling merchandisers since Cena, since New Day, and since a few others, I know. You gotta understand, exactly. I don't see how the cruiserweight division is being helped at all. But what I do understand is this. If someone's making your organization money, then, and only then, are you going to put them at the top. So what are the ups and downs of Monday Night Raw? Ups, Matt Hardy reintroducing the Woken gimmick, Paige looking stronger. Downs? There are a few downs, but some people may not understand the downs are just fan woes. I'm like, man, why did the Bar retain? It's because they're hard workers. You got to have a build in there between somehow. You can't just automatically give the Shield the tag team championships back. There's got to be a build. Otherwise, the entire show would consist of back and forth. Well, they're going to lose the tag titles 1 week, and Sheamus and Cesaro regains, what's the point? What is the point, you ask? Gee, I wouldn't know. The point is, I guess, to confuse us all. That's the point. I mean, I'm not... There has to be an end to me, because it's WrestleMania season. That's what they're trying to do. Okay, I'm no expert, but I'll try. I'll try to relay to you what I think about the next show, which I believe you all know this. This is one of my favorite. They're one of my favorite shows and brands. SmackDown Live, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to discuss with you a little bit about SmackDown Live. Okay, so Kevin Owens last week on SmackDown Live defeated Randy Orton in a no disqualification street fight. And at no point was Sami Zayn supposed to get involved, but I guess you could, you know, here's the thing, folks. One second while we pause for station identification. There's one thing I know, ladies and gentlemen. It's that SmackDown Live has a lot going for it, but now you've got Ruby Riott and the Riot Squad to contend with. So, all I know is that SmackDown Live has Kevin Owens, the controversy going with what happened with Randy Orton. The entire locker room of SmackDown Live is not and will never be a fan. And speaking of SmackDown Live, you know, I do read online what goes down. Okay, and what they said about what people were saying about Kevin Owens and his wife, that's totally unacceptable. All I can tell you is things happen, and it's not just, oh, just let it slide off my shoulder type thing. It's one of those things that I'm going to talk to you all about here in a second on Off the Rails Uncensored. SmackDown Live featured a lot of stuff, and AJ Styles, I don't know what he's going to do when he defends his title against Jinder Mahal. Did we possibly see the Singh brothers exit? I don't know. I really don't know. Maybe they're going back to under 205 Live. Who knows? But it said that they were written off TV. This, from Wrestling News Co., a source. And here's my thing. Before I start the whole Off the Rails Uncensored, I'd like for you all to know something. If you're going to say something about a man's family member that's crossing the line, regardless of whether you hate them or you know them, or you're just joking around, or you're just a complete moron. And yeah, I was going to discuss a preview for SmackDown Live, but why? I mean, it's the same principle as Monday Night Raw. You're going to see a lot of action featuring Absolution, not Absolution, thank God. You're going to see a lot of action featuring the Riot Squad. I don't know who they'll be facing tonight, but they're kind of the same setup as Absolution. So, without further ado, I'm going to discuss with you all on Off the Rails Uncensored. And that starts right about... Wait a minute, you're not going to give me a cue? What? Look in my... The cost of something I would be. I know your anger, I know your dream. I've been everything you wanna be. Oh, I'm the cost of something I would be. Like Mussolini. All right, ladies and gentlemen, so the subject tonight is appropriated fan behavior on social media, and also what, you know, constitutes as a joke or constitutes as something that a wrestler or, you know, anybody for that matter is going to take seriously. Well, ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about appropriated, like talking to wrestlers and how you talk to, you know, amongst each other as fans, let me just say it's like being a war veteran, when in fact a war veteran has war stories to tell, and if you talk to them and you trigger something, they're going to say something to you. So, in essence, what you can do is basically say to yourself, am I really going to say this shit out loud, or am I going to type it in because I hate this person? Kevin Owens has basically stated, you know, I deleted my Instagram account. I deleted this because it's bullshit that I get the, you know, the treatment as if I was a plague among wrestling. I don't think anybody can relate or begin to understand what Mr. Owens is going through. That's a lie. Some people will constantly be the consummate non-professionals that they are and sit there and tell them, okay, well, I can't believe that, you know, this person said this about you and this person said that about you. And what's even funnier is people sit there and try to be, you know, nice and cordial and polite and say, well, I didn't mean to say it. I hope you didn't take it the wrong way. Well, guys, he deleted his own account. He pretty much sat there and told you all that he didn't appreciate the comments that were made towards his wife. He didn't appreciate the comments that were made on social media. And it's funny, you guys can hide behind the screen and say whatever you want to say because you know you have the safety of your own home. You have the safety of calling the cops because if Kevin Owens actually found out where you lived, it wouldn't be a pretty story. So I got to say, you know, here's my thing, you know, this is what it is, this is what it's going to be, this is how it's going to turn out. This is what I feel, and this is how I intentionally going to do this. So I got to say, if you're not looking forward, you're never going to be able to make it in this world as a fan. And as a fan, it's okay. So if you're not able to be cordial with one another, even on social media, then all I'm going to tell you is you're not going to succeed very much further. So if, in essence, what I'm going to tell you is Kevin had every right to Kevin Owens basically was distraught, and I don't blame him. If you have a situation where a fan is being upset or not cordial or not polite to a wrestler, that's not uncommon. The same thing goes for a wrestler. If a wrestler is not polite to a fan or cordial to a fan, yes, things are going to get heated. Good example of that happened with Randy Orton. Randy Orton basically discussed with a group of people about his instance where fans were taking pictures of him in the bathroom. And I discussed earlier on with Brandon, basically a weird experience with a fan. He says he's never had any too strange of experiences. And I, you know what, some guys are lucky and fortunate to come up with certain fans that are really cool and polite and could basically make your whole evening go a lot faster, or day or whatever, because some people, you know, they're really cool and they can conversate with you and they're nice and they were taught right. Others, holy hell, they need a forklift for their attitude. They need to keep changing their perception on what it is that, you know, the professionalism, as Brandon said, can, where, how it can go. So, in other words, don't be a douche canoe. Stop writing online if you think that you're all big and bad because you talk down to a wrestler. That's not proper behavior. It's not right at all. If you're someone that's talking down to an NBA star, do you think that they're not going to take notice of you? Some people just choose to ignore. Some people choose to sit there and gripe and bitch the entire fucking time. Does that make them bad? No. But what is it that's ticked off Kevin Owens? You made a comment about his wife. Okay? That's different because now you're intruding upon his personal private space. And now you're making yourself look and feel important when you're really, you know, just a fan who has a lot of bigoted explanations as to how things are. And so now what you're doing ultimately to yourself is you're putting yourself out there as the mark who made a bad first impression. And if you're doing that, you're just making yourself look all out terrible. And by all out terrible, I mean you could be the biggest and brightest fan there ever was. And basically, what I'm going to tell you is that you can't sit there and think of yourself as this big image person. You're not Jim Ross. You're not Cornette. You're not a podcast. Well, some of you are podcast hosts. So what I'm saying to you is I've tried to tell you multiple times there's got to be better ways for you to behave, right? I'm not saying I'm perfect either. I've had some instances where I want to punch people in the face. But there are times when you're just like, man, and you're just trying to say to yourself, okay, well, how am I going to get or make long-lasting impressions? And you say, well, how do I get there? And how do I do this? How do I make a long-lasting impression? Where do I, you know, where do I go to do that? Learn etiquette. I've said this multiple times. If you're not in the company or invested in it, why are you making comments about someone that doesn't even have any effect on your bills? He's not paying for shit. So I got to say this nicely. As I was reading questions from the show, basically what it's telling me is, or you guys are telling me, is that why does it matter? What does the etiquette matter? It matters because you're part of fandom. You're part of something. You watch the show. You watch the program. You watch the people involved in it, like Kevin Owens. You watch Shinsuke Nakamura, right? You like Randy Orton, you like John Cena, you like whoever you want to like. But don't sit there on social media and make it known that you fucking hate them. Like, not outwardly, you know, involving family members. You can say you fucking hate them. I'm sure that Kevin Owens would have rather preferred that over the whole implications about his wife. What's worse is that people know that that'll touch a nerve. So you know that it's going to touch a nerve, yet you still do it in. So anyways, as I was saying, as I'm reading through your questions that are keep pouring into Wrestle Radio, here's my deal. If you're not all-inclusive about starting to be a good fan, then don't watch the show. Don't comment on guys and gals you absolutely hate, because all you're doing is making yourself look like a total horrible person. And not just that, it's the impression you leave on anybody that, you know, knows the fucking wrestling business better than anyone. So anyways, as I was saying, if you're not apt to being a good person in general, then you're not going to be apt to being cordial to, you know, to Kevin Owens, cordial to practically anybody, everybody that comes through the business, comes through that curtain, sacrifices for you so that you have a social media to go off on. Some people really shouldn't have a computer. Some people really shouldn't have an Instagram. Some people really shouldn't have a Twitter. But here's the problem. We've become so addicted to it as a society to watch all these people and say shit about them that we give everybody shit now. We've become the wrestling fan society that basically tries to get our chance more over than the wrestlers instead of paying attention to work. Not all of us, some of us. So pay attention to what's in front of you. Pay attention to what you're saying. Don't be the asshole that sits there and says, oh, I can actually make a valid point because, you know, I was a part of this wrestling organization, yada, yada, yada. Just because you were part of a Fed does not give you the right to sit there and say, well, I know that I can say shit about his wife and actually get away with it. That's some kind of fucked up shit. Like, for real, what hole did you decide to crawl out of to make a comment about somebody's wife? What morals are you gaining from doing all that bullshit? I'm going to pause a few seconds for station identification, folks. Anyways, folks, as I was saying, let's pause for station identification. I basically have stated my frustration with certain incidents regarding fans. Love them to death. But when you either go past that barricade or when you go past that emblem of I'm not, you know, I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other, whatever, you're putting yourself in jeopardy. Sure, it's okay to discuss amongst people that have the same opinion as you. That's always a safety net. But when you hop on social media and you ask me questions like, what is his woman's name, yada, 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 that's why I didn't answer some of your questions, because sometimes Instagram can be the playground for stupidity. It really can. And so Facebook, for that matter, too. If you know that you can hide behind a screen and start shit, while all these fuckers are popping up, because you've got set amount of people watching the show, you've got set amount of people who give a fuck, you've got set amount of people who try to start shit with wrestlers because they think they're all big and bad. Why? When Kevin Owens could literally eat you for breakfast and spit you back out or shit you out, one of the two. He's one of the nicest people I've ever bumped into, and that was in Kansas City. That was at Sprint Center, and he gave us the best advice. Don't let anybody tell you that you can't do anything. You know, you got to stay in this wrestling thing for a while, he said. So is this a tribute to Kevin Owens? Probably not. But here's my thing, man. If I like curly fries, you know, and I post on Instagram, someone makes a comment that, oh, you're a fat ass because you're eating horribly. One, you're a health nut. Two, you don't enjoy life. Three, blah, 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 blah. You're going to just really tick me off because we're already set in our ways about how we think. So if I'm going to change the opinion of the guy or gal who posted the comment about Kevin Owens' wife, no. But if he really had a choice to keep it PG for you all, then I don't think Kevin Owens would be in existence, because I think slowly but surely he's being disappointed, or he feels disappointed. But that's not the basis of this off the rails and censored version, because tomorrow I'm going to discuss more about WrestleMania 34 and also sit there and discuss with you about the trials and tribulations of traveling as a fan. So it's not about the workers also, that they're not the only ones that travel, but fans, we have our travel methods as well, train, plane, automobile, cruise ship, it don't matter. We still make the fucking shows. But back to the whole point of my discussion. You have to understand, you have to do this. No. It's a more of a mental compilation of understanding fans, understanding wrestlers, and understanding all points of view. So if I'm understanding the points of view of the fan, he or she probably thought it was really fucking funny to post something stupid and ignorant about Kevin Owens. This man is on the road. He's on around the world. He's international. He's going to Dubai this Friday. He's going to several places before, you know, he hits New Orleans in WrestleMania. Kevin Owens, by far, is probably one of the most seasoned veterans in wrestling, wrestling in PWG, wrestling in Japan, wrestling against Anderson and Gallows. Owens is like one of the most funniest, nicest people you will ever meet in your life, ladies and gentlemen. So I don't understand why people would make comments about him. So it all depends. It all depends. It all depends on how he feels. Right? If someone came up to you and said something stupid, you'd respond, right? You would respond. Exactly. I'm reading through your question on Instagram right now. It says, well, how would you react if it was mean to you as a worker? They have that right. They travel. I just said it. They travel. They work hard. They got kids. And if someone makes a comment about Kevin's own son who has autism, I will punch him dead in the throat. I will. Because someone will say some stupid shit just to get me going. And apparently, you know, I caught wind of what, you know, from WrestlingNews.co, Bleachers, you know, Bleacher Report, CageSideSeats.com. All of that information that was relayed to me was not falsified just so I could go off. Okay? So you asked for sources. I gave you sources. They all report the same thing, but just a different tone of reporting. So to make, you know, make matters worse, the fans decided to traipse onto his Instagram, fucking rail him for no reason. Why? What did Kevin Owens do to you aside from just perform? So I'm going to leave this at, ladies and gentlemen. If you think that a wrestler is there for your personal entertainment, if you think that he's there, you know, for your shits and giggles, and he can't, you know, he doesn't have a response mechanism left in his body or a defensive bone in his body, you're wrong. Words can get to people, and it's not a form of bullying because that kind of just left the yard, you know, that term left the yard a long time ago. Look who's in office. That's all I have to tell you. And second of all, if you guys think that what you say on the internet does not impact you, if you're at an autograph signing or if you're at a appearance, you're sadly mistaken. Okay? So I'm going to just go out on a limb here and say the best things that are better left unsaid are like, okay, don't ever say anything inappropriate is going to be hard for me. But if I say something in regards to just, you know, sticking up for a wrestler or a manager or a referee that was tormented or belittled by a fan that thought he was hot shit, nah, man. If I'm going to talk about the show, it's going to just repeat itself in circles. So, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I'm going to talk to you all tomorrow about that shit because apparently some of you really need to grasp the concept of what it's like to be on the other side. And if some of you don't know what that translates into, then I don't know what to tell you, assholes. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'll discuss it a little bit more. I got things to do and places to be and people to see. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is B-Train signing off from Wrestle Radio. I hope to see you all tomorrow with special guests. The very first guest on Off the Rails, Uncensored, Dusty Gold. Be sure to catch the gold rush, ladies and gentlemen. Toodles, bitches. Have a nice night, day, night, whatever. And if you don't believe in what I'm telling you, I got three choice words for you. Forget about it. Look in my eyes. What do you see? The cost of something I would be. I've been in a bed.
cult of personality, a cult of personality.